Well, indeed, it is great to be back and to be with our family, our parish family. Missed you greatly, although we did have a wonderful time celebrating three birthdays. When we got there on the 20th, it was Andrew's birthday, his 25th. Essie's birthday, his first birthday, was on the 23rd. And Teresa's birthday is on Valentine's Day, so we had to celebrate it before we left. And Dad made dinner, so that was fun. It brought to mind, with all the traveling and all the airports, which can be kind of tiring, but it also can open your eyes to some things that are going on in the world. You see, several years ago, my Aunt Kay, my dad's sister, went home to be with the Lord. And we traveled, Teresa, Marilyn, and I, John was in school, we traveled from Buffalo to New Jersey. But we had to go for the wake and funeral through John F. Kennedy Airport in New York. And if you've ever been there, you know, it's an interesting treat. We had to take what's called the SkyTrain from the JetBlue Terminal, Terminal 5, to go and get our rental car. And you're on this elevated train that stops everywhere. And it actually takes you out to Jamaica. And we got our car, or we were headed there. I was dressed in my collar and my black suit because we were going directly to the funeral home. And on board the train was an older couple from Fort Worth, Texas. And they asked me if I was an Episcopal priest. And I told them I had been. But I was very gladly and gratefully now an Anglican. They shared with me some of the troubles that they had or were experiencing in their own home church, the cathedral at Fort Worth, and how they were depending on the Lord to see them through, something that this congregation knows quite well, as other congregations who have joined the Anglican Church in North America, if you will, traveling through the desert, through the wilderness, and ending up what we believe is the promised land. Well, I prayed for them right then and there on the train. And I gave them the Lord's blessing before we got off at our stop. But sitting by the door was a rather interesting, and I'm using that term very lightly, an interesting fellow. I have to tell you, he was rather wild-eyed. And he told me that they should just as well pray to the dinosaur on the ceiling that he prays to every night. The dinosaur on the ceiling. My reaction to him was not one of rebuke, but instead to assure him that God was watching out for him. It seemed like it was a new idea for him. And I told him that he had to do what he felt was best. We prayed for him on our way to the rent-a-car. His thoughts and his hearts are most certainly somewhere else. And I saw this as a direct correlation to today's Holy Gospel reading from the Evangelist Mark, from John Mark, in which Jesus is confronted in the synagogue at Capernaum. But isn't it funny how God works that way? We find Jesus teaching in the synagogue, right in the midst of this fisherman's village. And in verse 22, they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one with authority, not as one of the, as it says in the scriptures, as one of the teachers of the law or the scribes. Jesus spoke God's word with authority, with power, and hope for those who were present on that Sabbath day. Jesus, in such a way, could sense that people knew his authority, different from the scribes who usually taught about the authority of God himself, present from the beginning of time. John the Baptist reminded the world of the promise of healing, strength, and forgiveness that would come from the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, and how that promise was going to affect all of our lives. He said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news, the gospel." Present that day in the synagogue in Capernaum was the word of God, being taught from the ancient scroll, teaching God's message of forgiveness and salvation in such a way that you could feel the assurance of God with every word. And rightly so. In John 1, 1 through 5, the evangelist writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Present that day in the synagogue in Capernaum was not only authority, but the authority, the creator of the universe, the light of the world. There was no avoiding it. The Word of God had been revealed, incarnate, in body and flesh, and written. When you go into a dark room and you turn on the light, what happens? You see what you couldn't see. Suddenly, things that are hidden in the darkness are revealed. That day, present in that synagogue in Capernaum, was a person who was among them that was carrying a secret. But this secret was well hidden. He sat among them. And I must tell you, in that synagogue in Capernaum, the people didn't sit in the middle in pews. They sat around the perimeter. And they sat looking at one another and looking at the teacher. But when the light of truth was present that day, the darkness inside that man was revealed. He could not continue to be undercover. And he spoke to Jesus, "What business do you have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. Similar words can be found, by the way, in the Gospel of Luke regarding the same man and the same incident. "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, the term "Holy One" was specifically reserved for referring to God himself. And it's used 56 times in Scripture. Yes, I went and looked at every single one. And that's in the Old Testament, referring to Adonai, God Almighty. And in the New Testament, referring to God in the person of Jesus Christ himself, the Son. In the presence of God himself, the demoniac could do nothing but speak the truth. When light is shown upon a darkness, everything is revealed. When the truth is shown in the darkness, everything is revealed. You can't hide. The light of the world was revealing the truth about himself. This man, who apparently was not a known demoniac, he wasn't out in the town square writhing or begging or doing anything like that. He was sitting amongst the congregation. Or he would not have been allowed in the synagogue that day. He revealed Jesus' true identity to everyone present, and as is recorded in the Gospels, to the world. Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God. Satan had been working from within the synagogue and now was going to try to thwart Jesus' teaching. But the Word, the light of the world, revealed the truth. Makes you wonder how long this evil had been infiltrating the synagogue, working from within, until the Word revealed the truth. Jesus cast out the spirit. This is very, very important for all of us to know and to take to heart. Jesus cast out the demon. He did not cast out the man. Let me repeat that. Jesus cast out the demon, the evil, the darkness. But he held on to the man. Because God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. And that's every one of us. There's nothing that cannot be covered by the blood of Jesus when we give it to him. When we truly come to him with penitent hearts and say, God, forgive me. He does. Because he loves us. There is hope and forgiveness for those who know and love God's word. And that's just not the Bible. That's Jesus himself, the word incarnate. A similar incident occurred when Jesus encountered the two demon-possessed men in the Gadarenes. Now the Gadarenes are on the eastern shore of the Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. It's known as the pagan side of the lake. The Decapolis is there, and they raised pigs there. You wouldn't find pigs in the Jewish quarters, right? They were unclean. When in the presence of Jesus, the word revealed, they could do nothing else but proclaim the truth. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, they cried out, "What business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before our time?" And when Jesus met the man possessed of the demons called Legion in the Gerasenes, a similar truth was revealed. "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Luke 8:28. When in the presence of light, darkness cannot help but reveal the truth. How sad it is for those who do not know the word, for those who do not seek him, for those who reject him or seek other gods. As we heard about this morning, there are other gods, but there's one true God. Those who deny his existence at all. Maybe they're talking to the dinosaur on the ceiling or something else. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 12 through 13, more light is shed on the identity of Jesus. It says, "He has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Jesus was hope for that man in the synagogue, and he's hope for each and every one of us here today. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to be present, and the opportunities that we have sometimes to be at a confirmation service, which, please, Lord, we will have in November of this year when our bishop comes to visit on the 29th of November, or a baptism. I look forward to having a baptism here at St. Andrew's to welcome a new sinner into the world of Jesus Christ. But we have a unique opportunity at those services to renew our baptism vows, our baptismal vows, renouncing evil, being equipped and prepared as disciples of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Though knowing and staying in the word, we can live in hope as victors over evil and death. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Because of the word revealed, the word incarnate, and the light that comes from him, we can recognize the darkness, and with his help, we can stand against it. The world today is virtually infested with darkness. I think you'll agree with me. It's everywhere. And with the light of the word revealed to us, we can see it, and we can pray against it. Think for a minute. Some of the movies that deal with darkness. Now, I'm not condemning any of these movies. Please understand that. I'm just using an example in which evil is glamorized. The Exorcist, End of Days, The Matrix, Devil's Advocate, To Kill a Mockingbird. And you just know it's present as well in the Harry Potter movies, Lord of the Rings, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and all of the Chronicles of Narnia. Even the Return of the Jedi and the Star Wars. Again, I'm not taking a side here. I'm just saying it's a battle between good and evil. It's the world we live in, isn't it? Please understand, I like some of those movies. And because I have the light of God, the light of Jesus in my heart, I can recognize and distinguish the good and the evil. I don't have to put it aside. I let God do that. I'm just simply saying that the struggle is evident. In many, the light is victorious over the dark side, Star Wars, if you will. But unfortunately, not in all. That's just the way the movies are, the media, the TV. I want you to listen to this quote. "There is probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life." This is a sign that appeared on buses all over Toronto. You see, we lived up north, about an hour from Toronto. I mean, it was 10 minutes from the border, and we were in Canada. There is an organization called Free Thought of Canada, which purchased these signs, following in the footsteps of others who had successful campaigns in the UK, Washington, D.C., Barcelona, and Madrid. Countless others have lined up to do the same in Montreal, Vancouver, Calgary, and other cities in the U.S. A young Christian college student named Stephen decided to respond to this organization by courageously writing these words: "I am appalled by this action. I do not challenge the freedom of expression. Instead, I do support it as forms part of our equality and liberty. But the wording of these advertisements have brought controversy because of the message behind it. To eliminate the thought of God from the minds of citizens ultimately removes the basis of where our morality has arisen. Who then, one could ask, decides the difference between good and evil? The message provided here is damaging to the society and damaging to the youth of this generation and the generations to come." Stephen goes on to say, "Our counterclaim is simply this. There is a God. Our nation was founded on the Christian faith, of which now slowly slips away. Our nation is losing touch from its spiritual roots and origins, of which was truth. Ever since the study and inclusion of God was taken out of the schools, life has changed. There's been an ever-increasing problem of youth issues such as drugs, violence, guns, bombs, assault weapons showing up in school. These problems obviously existed well beforehand, but the great increase of issues did not occur until the study and inclusion of God was removed from our education system and institutions. Who is this God? We speak of the Christian God, the only living God, the God who created the heavens and earth by simply speaking it into existence. We speak and proclaim the truth of God who sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for the sins of all mankind, everyone, out of love for us, and who was raised from the dead on the third day to open for us a path of victory through him. We speak and proclaim a God who is also recognized as the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It would seem to me that this young man has heard the truth, and the truth has set him free." Did you know that those words, John 8:32, are encircling in Greek the compass rose, which is the symbol of the Anglican Communion? John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What happens when you walk into a darkness and you turn on a light? All is revealed. You're given new eyes. So how do we battle evil? This flood of lies that some people want to perpetuate. What's the answer? The answer, my brothers and sisters, is God's word revealed. To borrow a phrase from some dear friends of mine, you may have heard of them. They're a Christian rock band named Petra. They're dear friends of mine. And they have a song that says, "Get on your knees and fight like a man or a woman." We're all called to be prayer warriors in this battle which belongs to the Lord. There is a battle going on. We're witnesses of that. And we can't fight it alone. With God's strength, with God's truth, and with God's word, we can help shed the light of his truth upon the darkness. And his truth will be victorious. As faithful servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, through obedience to prayer, obedience to his holy word, and in being an instrument, helping to see the word revealed to others, hearts can be changed. Minds will be opened, and souls will be won for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.